Well, I have a angel of start time, and I have an angel of let's get back to speaking the word time. So it's time.
Is that Patsy?
Start time.
Patsy is a very.
I wouldn't call it an angel.
Lord, we are thankful that we can gather together, and Lord, we can depend upon you to join us, Lord, to hear our, to know our needs, to meet our needs, and Lord, to give us your word to guide us in all of our ways. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you have all things in your hand, and you will not let us go. We thank you, no matter what, that you love us and care for us and everything. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I'd like to share, extend, I guess, the some of the messages that I've spoken in the past, a couple of weeks ago, and then also further past in the months ago. I've been talking about dwelling with Jesus, that He shares with us that the Father has granted him life over and for us. And it is by his blood being poured out for us that we can trust and rest. That's really the word, rest and dwell with him. And that he wants us to know him. I had been sharing on John, and included John chapter 6. This has been a long time ago. And Jesus is speaking to the crowd that had been fed the day before. The 5,000 that he had fed them, and the bread was broken and the fish were shared and they were all filled. And they didn't get it, just like we don't get it. Many times there are many things that the Lord has shared with us and done for us, and it goes over our head. And it's a good thing it goes over our head, because he wants us to hear and know things by the Spirit. He has granted us life in the Spirit, and he has granted us spiritual ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see. And he wants us to look for that, look for him, seek him, trust him. And so just part of that message had to do with the end of John, well, middle of John chapter 6. They came to him after they had been fed the day before, and they came to him the following day, and he wasn't there where they expected him, and he came, and they came looking for him, and he answers, this is John 6, 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs." And that's important. Not that you saw signs, signs that he is the Messiah. That's what he was demonstrating when he was dividing the bread and the fish and feeding them and leading them and healing them, touching them in so many ways. "Truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." I want to pause there for a moment. Realize we need to realize that He has the power and authority to grant us all things that we need to know. That we, by His blood being poured out, we have been made acceptable. We can enter into the very throne room of heaven because we have been cleansed of all our unrighteousness, and we are in fact righteous. If you struggle with that, it's okay. He has it. He knows. He is doing all this. All right, let me continue. Do not work for the food which verse 27, food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. He is the one providing food for eternal life. Son of Man shall give to you, for on Him, on the Son of Man, the Father, even God, has set His seal. They said therefore to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? They wanted to know, and we've talked about this morning, it's in a number of the testimonies about grace, that it is... it is not what we can't earn our way. It is grace that God has given us, that we can know Him, that we are cleansed, that we are a fragrant aroma to God. Verse 28, they therefore said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? They wanted to know, if you do this, 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 which is the greatest command? Well, how about is this, what if we decide we don't think that's correct, or we don't understand? Jesus answered, verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Now, I'm going to stop reading in John 6 at that point, because they wanted to know how. I want to know how I can get a ticket and that I know I'm going to get into heaven. I want to know. I don't want to have faith. They didn't say that. But that's what they were saying. I don't trust you. But Jesus said, that is the work of God for us, to know Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to, and not only, not to know Him in, well, don't want to get off in a rabbit hole here. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Believing in Him is not easy. We need to know who He is. We need to seek Him. We need to allow Him to lead us. When we gather together as we did today, the Lord has spoken so many things to so many people, and He is constantly trying to lead us and to give us and to open our eyes to help us to hear words of the Spirit, words from the Spirit, by the Spirit. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Well, last week, Paul spoke, but the week before that I spoke, and I had four, I'll call them events, that I highlighted, and they're not the complete picture. They're four events that took place in the script, and they're recorded in Scripture. And the first one was that I brought out was Psalm 23. That's not a difficult psalm, I'm sure you recognize it, you know it, you probably can recite it. But the Scripture tells us Jesus is the shepherd. I am the shepherd. My Father has made me, he's brought Jesus to be our Savior. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who loves us and cares for us and takes us out and feeds us and waters us and leads us in the way we should go. And in that scripture, over and over again, he's saying, he does the things that are necessary for us to know him and to love him. And he wants us to hear his voice. He wants us to know him, that he is the door. It says another place in the scripture, in John, I think, that Jesus declared that he is the doorway to the sheep. We are those sheep. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to know him and to trust him and to believe that we are saved. He is the Messiah. He is God incarnate in the flesh, desiring for us to know and to walk in his way. So David is speaking spirit. These are spiritual words that he is saying, and it is understood in our, we understand in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And again, spiritual words come to us. And David is the king, the shepherd king. He is the one who leads us. He is God's anointed on earth. Jesus came to fulfill the kingdom, to reestablish the kingdom of David in the spirit, not in the power of a conqueror, of a great soldier, but as a lover of God and a lover of his people and fulfilling all of our needs. Well, David was the example. He was in all those psalms around Psalm 23. Pete read that of Psalm 27, I think, this morning. And, you know, David has experienced God in a way that others didn't. He has written all these psalms, and this, it's poetry. It's beautiful. It tells us who Jesus is. It tells us what his desire is and what he wants to do and how he has done the things, how he has prepared the place for us. The second event came from Job. And Job is suffered a great calamity in his life, and God desired Job to know more than he knew. He desired that Job would hear. And God caused the situation to be there that he had friends of Job, men that knew him, that they call some counselors. And they came and they didn't believe that the work of God is to believe in him whom he has sent. They were believing, you got to do it the right way. You must have done something wrong. You've got to have stepped out of line. You crossed the line. You did something. You must accept it. You must do the things that the law tells you. And Job, as far as he knew, he hadn't. He had not sinned. He didn't know that anything that he had gone wrong. He was just devastated by all of the loss. But he, for quite a while, he stayed true to God. And eventually, he got to the point where he struck out. He was struggling, and he says that, I haven't, God, you've done me wrong. And of course, God hadn't done him wrong. So in Job, if we could look at Job 38, and actually in all, most of the counselors talk to him, the advisors, the self-appointed enforcers. I guess enforcer is not the right word, but the ones who were looking to Job and telling him, you know, you've done something wrong. This just doesn't happen. God doesn't do it this way. He doesn't do it this way because he wants us to follow the law. Well, all of the three counselors have spent their energy on figuring out. We got to figure out something that we can hang on Job, because he certainly is. He's needing to hang. And Elihu comes to Job and starts to tell him, he had understanding, spiritual understanding. He was trusting in God. And he was telling Job chapter 37, that Job, you need to listen to God. And God is able to take care of you and to provide for you. And he goes in, and it turns out, and I hadn't seen this before, this came from the study of Job that Ed was doing, that in chapter 38, God begins to speak. Elihu is still speaking. And God begins to speak directly to Job. And it says, verse 1 of chapter 38, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man.'" God is speaking. This man is Job. "Gird up your loins like a man, Job. I will ask you, and you instruct me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the line upon it?" Verse 6, "Or where were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Job is now conversing directly with God. So we've had the first, David in Psalms is telling us about God and about spiritual life and how we are cared for by God. Job is telling us through his discomfort and through the things that he has suffered, he is learning about who God is, and he is being questioned. "What do you mean, Job?" This is me speaking. "What do you mean telling me how this was done? How you're not culpable? I am the one who laid out the foundations and measured them of the earth. In verse 8, or who enclosed the sea with doors? God is telling him how he created and how the oceans were formed. And then verse 8, when bursting forth it went out from the womb, when I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors, and I said, thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves stop. I am God. I am omnipotent. I am able to do this without you. You can't tell me anything. You don't know. Not because I'm not. God wasn't trying to harm him. He was seeking to give him counsel, to let him know. And God is giving him what he needs to know directly. As Job listens, he wants us to dwell with him, that he can speak to us, that he can tell us what we need to know about him. He wants us to know about him, and God is telling Job, just as he is telling us as we read these things. Verse 19 of chapter 38. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place? That you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths to its home. You know, for you were born then. No, he wasn't born then. And the number of your days is great. Job is being told by God things that nobody can say but God. The dwelling, where is the dwelling of the light? Where's the dwelling of darkness? Another place it talks about the flood and the snow and the can you bind, verse 31, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion? Can you lead forth a constellation in its season and guide the bear with her, that's a constellation, with her satellites? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens or fix their rule over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of water may cover you? God is telling him what he has done and can do and will do. Job has misunderstood, and God is going to tell him and help him to understand. He wants us to know that he will speak to us when we need to know things such as Job needed to know. That he can tell us the way of the dwelling, way to the dwelling of the light and the darkness, and how darkness is obliterated by light. All these things God wants us to know as his children, as his loved ones, as his beloved. Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 12 about the... he spoke a parable about the farmer who had abundant crops. This is the third item, event. The land, verse 16 of chapter 12, and he told them this parable saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning with himself, saying, what shall I do that I have, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, There I will store my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Now, who will inherit? Who will own what you have prepared? So it is with the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Jesus is explaining, Jesus is giving a parable to the people that they might realize that it's not about what they've got. It's not about gathering wealth. It's not about... He wants us to depend on Him, not ourselves. This rich man, never once does the parable say that he asked, prayed, sought God for what to do with this abundance, this gift that was given to him. It was almost like he thought, well, I must be a really good guy. God's wanting to, I've been blessed with all this stuff. You know, that barn's kind of getting old and it's small. And, you know, I really ought to store up all this stuff so I can eat, drink, and be merry. God wants us to realize, wants us to know, wants us to come to Him, wants us to hear His voice and to seek Him in, see what He is telling us in His Word and in the events of our life, that we are being cared for and that we have things that He has given us and He wants us to know. But He doesn't want us to depend on things. He doesn't want us to depend on earth. He wants us to depend on Him, to trust Him, to believe in on Him whom He has sent, the Father has sent. Verse 24, well, actually, let me go to 22. Jesus said to His disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. He is going to provide for us. He doesn't want us to worry. He doesn't want us to get nervous. Verse 23, for life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot even do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, verse 27, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. We struggle. We want to know what's going to happen. We don't want to have to live by grace. We want to have enough stuff that we can do what we want to do. It's been true with me. If it's not with you, good. Praise the Lord. The Lord loves us, and He wants us to know Him. He wants us to trust Him. And as He draws us to Himself, He teaches us. He gives us spiritual insight. And He gives us grace to know Him and to be pleased by Him and to be filled by Him. So we have this dwelling in God that we may know him, that we can live a spiritual life, that we can know spiritual, have spiritual insight into things, to hear his voice and to know when he's speaking. And the Holy Spirit is within us, and that he will speak for, he will pray for us because we don't know how. He will help us. He will guide us in all his ways. So he, what does God use? God uses King David, the shepherd king who pleased God. He used Job, whom he spoke to directly. David, he saw through being a shepherd, being out in the wilderness, he knew and understood God, saw the things of God, and spent time with God. He was alone with God in the fields, with the sheep. With Job, Job was able to hear God's voice and to be corrected, and be corrected in such a way that he knew what was right, and he knew what God wanted from him, and that what God was doing for him was right and wonderful. Well, and Jesus spoke parables, and through these parables, as we consider them and think about his, who he is, and seek to know him, that we can believe in him, that he will help us to understand by granting us insight. And the other thing that is in the scripture that we can hold on to is the things Jesus speaks to us or gives to his servants. And when we gather together, the Lord speaks through us and helps us, and we know him. He wants us to know him. Many of the epistles, Paul wrote many of them, John and Peter wrote a couple, and in these books, in these letters, he speaks to us and tells us things that we need to know about our life here on this earth, our life in the flesh that is being changed by the Spirit, being touched by the Spirit. I wanted to just pick an example of that came to me, that the Apostle Paul spoke many of these words, and he wanted the people who received his epistles to have understanding. And we can learn and understand and hear from the things that Paul was telling them. He's speaking to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. And Jesus is speaking to Timothy because he's trying to instruct him. And he says, he's not just saying I or you, we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. It's not about stuff. Verse 8, and if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. Some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pang. But flee from these things, verse 11, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Timothy is being instructed by Paul, and Paul is telling him, hold on to these things that you know, that you I have taught you, that you have seen. Flee the things and pursue, flee the things of man and pursue righteousness, verse 11, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. We are to pursue these things. We can't do them. We're not to do them as the law. We're not to get our my perseverance card punched. And once I get 10 punches, I can then go on to the next thing. That's the way we think. It's the way we act. He wants us to pursue these things in Him. Paul is telling him, flee these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, and perseverance, and gentleness. Turn your back on them. Realize that you are righteous. Realize that you have been saved to the uttermost. Realize that when you gather together with believers, you encourage yourself and each other, and God is with you. Verse 13 of this is Timothy 6:13. I charge you in the presence of God who gives to all, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is blessed, the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Paul is telling him, hold on to what you know. Hold on to those who you are with. Guide them. Help them to hear the things that I'm teaching you, that I've told you, that Jesus has given to me to give to you, to give to them, and that it will be spread throughout the world, that God by His power is going to cause us to dwell with Him and with one another, and that we may know who He is and what He is doing. We learn from each other. We learn from God speaking directly. We learn from the historical David and the things that he recorded. All these things He wants us to enter into and to be filled with and to be guided and to hold on to, because it is our place. Our place has been prepared for us, and He is going to fulfill all He has set about to do. Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your loving kindness to us. We ask You, Lord, to be with us as we share in a meal. And Lord, we do thank You that we can be together and know Your loving kindness. We ask You, Lord, to bless this time that we have. You have blessed it. You have shown us so much of Yourself. Continue to meet with us. Guide us. We know that Your heart is for us to be filled and changed and touched in everything that You have, that You would have for us, and that we can hear with spiritual ears and speak with a spiritual voice. In Your name we do pray. Amen.